219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth. 219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth.
Hey, hey, what's going on, y'all? How y'all doing? This is JD the Barber.
Hey, Queenie.
And we are here today on 219 and Talk, man. We are having so much fun in the midst of this coronavirus and all of that. My wife is just loving having so much fun here today, just learning each other all over again. And it's just been a wonderful thing to just, you know, quarantine and spend time with this beautiful young lady.
Baby, that's enough. I love you. You had some sack of love. But we got Ray from the Crooked Letter off the line. What's going on, Ray?
What's up, Trainer Ray?
What's up, Queen and JD the Barber? This is Trainer Ray here down in the dirty city, up chilling on the porch, hanging out with my grandbaby.
Yeah. Tell it, baby, I said, hey, man.
Oh,
Reggie, there too? Hey, Reggie, what's happening, baby? Hello?
This is Red Joe. You know, this is Red Joe coming out saying, "Fred, what's going on with y'all?
What's up, baby? What's going down?" But yeah, it's cool that you like. I was just sitting here talking about how this coronavirus has brought families closer together because we get a chance to spend more time with each other now. A lot of times it's not because we want to; it's because we got to. But it's even better when you want to. And I want to spend some time with mine. You know what I'm saying? I'm really, really enjoying this. And it's just that this is a blessing that has come out of us dealing with this coronavirus. And we get to know each other a little better. You know what I'm saying? Get to spend some time and get into a little more intimate relationship with each other than what we would on just a normal basis.
Now, shout out to Onish. Not going to be on the show tonight, but we just want to send us some love and say we miss you for this show.
Exactly.
Now, what's going on, Big Reggie? What you been up to today?
Oh, I ain't been doing too much. Just sitting around being bored to death around here in the Crooked Letter because ain't nothing going on but this virus. I'm just staying out these folks' way. You heard me?
I hear you. What you got going on, Reggie?
Oh, man, I'm up here just now. I'm just trying to pick up a punch from my mother-in-law. Man, my wife waits for the last minute to give me to come up here, so you know how that goes.
Hey, man, let me tell you something, brother. Our work is never done. I've been out and about all day today to buying beds and delivering beds and all kinds of stuff, man. We just got to keep it going, Reggie. As my dad used to say back in the day, we put our fires as they pop up, man. We just pat them out. When they pop up, we put them out. That's what we do as black men. You know, we just take care of our families and love on them and be that security that they need. But the first thing, while we talking about it, Jesse, I want to bring this up. I noticed today I was out and about. I don't know if you fellas have noticed, but I was always brought up, I guess, a little old school factor where cash was king. You know, cash was king and everybody accepted cash. But hell, with this shortage and all that's going on nowadays, people don't even want to take cash money no more. Everybody wants you to pay with a card. I'm like, what? I pulled out my money. I was at the register, and I pulled out money. The girl said, oh, no, we're only taking cards. I said, what? Thank the Lord I got money on my card. But what if I didn't have a card? You're not going to sell me what I'm trying to buy? That is the craziest thing ever, man. Donald Trump done messed the whole world up, bro. I blame it on Trump. Like, he blamed everything on Obama. I'm blaming this on him. Have y'all run into this problem where y'all at?
Yeah, they got signs up everywhere you go. No, they tell you change. I mean, if you're gonna use cash, it needs to be exact change if it's possible, or if you got a card. But see, they'll take your card. I mean, they'll take your money if you ain't got no other choice. I'm sure they're not gonna turn you away because that's bad business. But yeah, it's hitting around here too.
What about you, Rich? You had that problem?
Well, personally, I don't carry a lot of cash on me. I always have my card on me ever since, you know, I started using my little debit card about 10 years ago. I have to stop and get cash because sometimes I don't carry it. But I see little signs up there say, hey, man, we prefer you, you know, because of the coronavirus, we prefer you to use at least exact change or a credit card. They don't, you know, they really don't want your money unless you got exact change. No, so
hey, JD.
Man, look at
them. Hey, this is what I'm going to do next time. If I go in the store and they tell me they don't want my cash and they only take cards, since I got a mask on, I'm going to say, well, it's free then.
Ready. Don't do it.
I'm
going to talk you down.
I already got a mask on. What you going to do?
like this, they told Miss Cena.
It ain't worth it.
Don't even try, bro. I tell you what, they can't take your cash, but they will take your, oh, my God, to jail. Keep praying with them people. The boy in jail, that's
hey,
God's offering.
Tim, I can't get it. Okay, it's free then. I got a mask on. What you going to do?
They're going to tell you it's free, all right? You free.
They're going to wrap it up.
It's going to be for a whole bag of chips. A whole bag of chips. That's it. Just a bag of chips.
Nah. You're going to go to the bag of chips, all right?
Oh.
Chip you in the back of that seat. Yeah. Hey, look at folks. Let's move on to a little subject that's maybe a little bit more serious. Have y'all seen where they are going to the civil case with the state and Breonna Taylor's family has been resolved? They are paying this family some hush money, I think it is, because I don't know how you put a price on the life of your loved one. But they are, I think the settlement was, what, $12 million?
Oui.
I don't know if that you can put on the life, but $12 million is quite a bit. That's for sure. But still, I don't think that enough has been done just with the monetary value being handed out. I think that there should be some repercussions to those officers who killed that young lady. There should be some jail time involved as well as this monetary compensation. Did you guys hear anything about that?
I hadn't been hearing anything yet. I mean, I usually see the news every once in a while, but I hadn't heard anything about it.
Yeah, I think they settled for like $12 million. Don't quote me the exact price, Ray, but I think it was $12 million that they are going to compensate with. Have you heard anything about it, Reggie?
No, this is my first time hearing about it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know. You know, $12 million is a lot of money. You know, I don't know how you put a price on somebody's life, but $12 million. You know, I don't know. You know, hey, that's
a life changing money. That's for sure.
Yep.
That's gonna be able to compensate that family, put them well off. You know, it changes their tax bracket. That's for that gum show.
Yes, it does.
But one thing about it, she is not coming back. And the thing about it is, I still don't think even with that amount of money, that justice has been served, because they don't mind throwing money at something that is as controversial as this. Like I said, there's a, I don't know if that's just a payoff, a hunting fund, or whatever they got that money out of.
Well, the New York Times says Breonna Taylor's family to receive $12 million settlement from the city of Louisville in the aftermath of the botched police raid in which Ms. Taylor was killed. The city also agreed to institute changes aimed at preventing future deaths by officers.
Right. But see, this thing that occurred with Breonna Taylor, another tragedy similar to the one that happened here in Houston, where a couple was killed while the police were serving a no-knock warrant at the wrong house.
Hmm.
You know, and they wanted to say that the police killed her because her boyfriend started shooting at the police. But the thing is, the police did not, they just kicked their door in. And the boyfriend thought that it was somebody, you know, like breaking in the room. So he started fire, and the police fired back and killed that girl. And the boyfriend. But they were serving a no-knock warrant at the wrong damn address.
Well, when the mother
heard, I'm like. Go ahead.
I'll go.
No, I was gonna say, well, me personally, if you come into my house and kicking those in, I'm supposed to shoot at you. I don't, hey, it ain't my fault.
That's my point exactly, right?
I'm supposed to shoot at you. So, hey, whatever happened after that is on you. Oh, well.
The police didn't identify themselves as police first. They just kicked the door in like a damn robber. And I don't blame that brother for starting to shoot. Hell, I'm going to shoot, too.
That's my
I
house.
I ask you, man, what you, who are you? I'm not going to ask you for no ID and you kick my damn door in.
I'm trying to put you to sleep.
I'll let you put your pocket after I kill you. Now, what you were saying, Reggie?
Well, first of all, you know, the new not want, I mean, that's crazy as hell. If anybody came to my house and took the door in, I'm the ass first man, special leader. You know, I mean, that's just crazy. You know, I asked the 93-year-old lady that killed by the police doing the same thing. They broke it off. And, hey, man, she started bumping back at that. You know, I'm like, you know, that's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? That's why we got laws. They get warrants, or whatever warrants, come and identify yourself. And then at least you know it's the police out there before they bust into your house. But you know, you come late at night too. You know what I'm saying? Early in the morning, you know, trying to catch someone off guard. Well, you caught someone off guard. I mean, what they both know.
Well, I don't know about this incident, but I know in the state of Texas, in Harris County anyway, they're getting they are discontinuing no-knock warrants. They're illegal now. So that stemmed from that incident where they killed that man and that woman in that house when they served a no-knock warrant on the wrong damn house. And ended up
I'm like this. If you're going to serve a warrant in somebody's house, you need to get your facts 100% before you go kicking those in.
Right. You're absolutely right, Ray.
Be 100%, because just like that incident there happened, you know, that could happen to anybody. You at the wrong house. You ain't got 100%. So now you shot up somebody's house and expect to be okay and apologize, be like it's supposed to be all right because you shot up my house and it was the wrong house. No, it ain't okay because you should have had your information at 100% before you jumped out there talking about serving a warrant.
But you said apologize. I've never heard nobody apologize.
I know. Because they don't think they have to.
Exactly. Well, the thing
I mean,
is,
I don't want no apology either.
But the thing about it is, our police forces just have too many problems in them as far as policies and too much misconduct and too much I'm gonna just say malpractice. They don't follow guidelines or rules that should be followed.
They don't feel like they have to.
Exactly. That's
the arrogant thing, man.
Yeah, but you know, the police force in many of these cities feel like they are above the damn law.
The law.
Yeah, because you're a damn law. You're above the law. No, that's not how it works. So,
but you know, another reason why they don't want to be exposed, these police officers, they'll pay you to shut up because there's other things these police officers doing. They doing more than murdering people. They raping women.
Oh,
they doing all kinds of stuff. They doing all kinds of stuff, dirty cops and drugs, all that kind of stuff. Just like when they went over there over here in Houston and ran into that house. They talking about it was a drug house and ran that shot the owners and all that kind of stuff. They've been out of line for a long time. And that's why they was talking about defunding the police department. They trying to figure out how to get to the core of this problem. But they know how much money it's going to cost to go in there and fix that system. It's going to take money.
Well, to be honest with you, many of these major cities, you know, like Houston, Chicago, New York areas, and all those, these police forces in these cities have been running rapid and misguided for so long. You would have to literally start all over again. Fire every damn police officer, every person in charge of the police, and revamp the entire system. And that's just gonna cost too much, and that's not gonna happen.
Well, also too, they're gonna need to start making them. You know how if somebody get in trouble, they want you to take responsibility for your actions. They need to start putting some of these folks in jail and showing that they ain't playing.
Oh, yeah.
And then that way they'll stop that food.
That's awesome.
Huh?
Yeah, it's about the only way they're going to stop it. That's harsher consequences.
People
misuse their
authority. So they can't use it.
So these folks ain't playing no more. You out here destroying folks or killing folks. That's why they out here terrorizing cities now. You know, people ain't playing no more.
Right.
Hello? Oh.
Yeah, we here.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Okay, let's get you up.
All right. Hey, look, I don't know about y'all fellas, but I'm happy that the NFL is back. I just want to bring that up because I had gotten tired of this watered-down bullcrap NBA season that they're showing on TV. But the only thing that I'm baffled by is the no fans in the stand. Little to no fans in the stand. Some of these NFL players probably feel like they're at a Little League game with how many damn fans in the stands. When you're used to playing in front of thousands, you know, 30-something thousand, 40-something thousand, all of a sudden there's 1,500 people in the damn stand.
But don't you get some energy built up?
Yeah, and the people scattered out in the stands like chicken feed.
Like chicken.
Yeah, they ain't even in the same zip code, damn, that big as some of these stadiums are. You put 1,500 damn people in down in NRG Stadium. You don't even know to stay there.
Well, I'm happy that you are happy about it, but I want to report this. It says Kansas City, Missouri. Health department has reached out to 10 people, urging them to self-quarantine after they may have been exposed to COVID-19 at the Chiefs' home opener last week.
Okay.
Boom.
Well, they probably didn't have no damn mask on and practicing social distance. Yeah, I mean, you're in the old stadium, you can scatter out. Move around. They want to drink beer and party with each other instead of just enjoying sitting there.
They say the department said an individual who attended the game and watched from a group box in Arrowhead Stadium last Thursday tested positive for the coronavirus the very next day.
Okay.
So that's why.
They said a group box, didn't it?
Group box.
I'm sure they was piled on top of each other in that damn group box. That's their damn fault. The people told you how to watch the game and enjoy it without being up on top of each other. But no, you want to drink beer and party with each other, like I just said. Yeah, that group box, they get to sit in there and drink beer and be right on top of each other and watch the game. Yeah, I'm good.
So what y'all think about that?
Well, they tell you, I'm sure they give you a warning, and what they tell you they should do about social distancing. So you should take heed to that. Now, if you don't take heed to that, me personally, that's your fault. But you knew the rules when you walked in the door that you should be so many feet from everybody. But if you got a group, like you said, in that group box, they probably stand up all over each other yelling and coughing. Somebody in there just coughing hard, eating peanuts and everything. He ain't coughed on everybody. Now he gave everybody the coronavirus. So,
what you say? Coughing on eating peanuts.
Coughing on each other eating peanuts. You know what I'm saying? If they yelling, yeah, go. So there it is.
What you say gonna happen? But let me tell you something. I don't get up on nobody, huh? Huh?
I thought I heard somebody say something.
Oh. Yeah, they have social distancing parameters that they try to tell people to keep, but you have, just like anything else, you got free will to follow it or not. And when you don't follow it, you have to deal with the consequences of it.
Exactly.
But I know me and my wife, we go places, you know, but we going to take our masks. We're going to stay away from other folks. Now, we all up on each other because we always all up on each other. But I know she don't have it. She know I don't have it. And we're not going nowhere else and pick it up and bring it to this house. So you have to, like you said, there are parameters put in place for a reason. But if your heart headed behind, want to go out here and do what you want to do, then you have to put up with the consequences. And that's just all there is to it because – I don't know if y'all saw it today, read in the news, here in the Houston and Texas area, they are opening up restaurants and other businesses to 75% right now. So that means these restaurants are about to be full again to 75% of their capacity. These stores are about to be overflowing. Because, you know, you never are not going to stick with no 75% guideline. That's just dead. These people are going to make as much money as they can because they have lost so much money the last 6 months. Unless you're going to send somebody to every restaurant and every other place to be counting heads, the state don't have that kind of money to do that. So they forget all them parameters that they're putting up. It's going to be people piled on top of each other again. But guess who's not going to be in that mist? And them people piled up on top of each other. Me. I don't want to hear. I know how to cook a steak at my house. I know how to make hamburgers. I know how to make all that food, seafood, whatever. I'm not running up in these restaurants with these people, like ready to say, coughing and eating peanuts. I'm not going with it. So, what do you think about that notification, Reggie, about them reopening the restaurants and stuff to 75%. And do y'all have something like that going on after that, after Reggie get done?
I rarely watch the news. I didn't even see that, but it really doesn't matter because I'm not going to sit nobody's restaurant anyway. I got a restaurant in my kitchen already. You know, whatever I want to eat, I can fix it. And if I can't, I can find out how to fix it. You know, that's just ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Saying, you know, 75% is just like saying 100% to me. Because, you
exactly.
know, our restaurant is not going to always be full. And like you said, who's going to be watching them? But, and that's why we need to make sure that, you know, if so, I want that job. I want to line around and come to my restaurants and get paid for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got Ray. Y'all got something like that going on down there?
Well, you got some restaurants that are opening here. Tupelo, I know Red Lobster got people. They scatter you out. They sit you on the table here. You can't sit right there. They spacing you. They making sure they seat you. And once they get to a certain point to where they get within that distance, they won't. They people be waiting outside. So it's like whoever leaves is the next person to come in. But, you know, I went to Red Lobster like about a week or so ago. Man, this old dude was in there coughing so hard. I said, oh, Lord, that boy got that thing. I said, y'all ain't putting him up out of here yet? And he's sitting in there coughing over the table. Ain't nobody said nothing. The waitress is just looking at one waitress and said, oh, my God, he needs to stop coughing. I said, no, y'all need to put him out. But, you know, it ain't trying to be mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was an old dude. You know, he might have had an emphysema or something, you know, but still, that mug was coughing all over the tables and stuff. But they starting to spread them out here. They put them in a restaurant, but they spread them out. So.
Yeah, you can't. Look, you can't go nowhere no more, Ray, and cough, man. If you got a cold, you stay home. Yeah, you get some of the strangest damn.
Even if it ain't corona.
You get some of the. Exactly. You get some of the strangest damn. Look, I know if you get the cough around me, I'm like, hey, look, bro. Right. I lied to hit you with a can of Lysol, then between your eyes. Get up out of my face, man. Uber
hey, you standing behind me coughing. I'm going to go. Standing behind me coughing. I'm going to go kick in your chair.
Yeah. What's I'm going to kick in the chair? Man, I can't get my damn chair in the ass. I can't kick nobody in the chair. I still got that offensive lineman two-hand shiver move, though. I hit the ass in the chest and knocked off the feet with his two-hand shiver. Hey, let me tell you something, boy. I had a powerful two-hand shiver, Ray, in my college football days. I promise I can stop your momentum with no problem. But you're going to back up off of me with all that toxic. All that coughing and snooting. You look like my grandma used to all that old snooting and snot. You get out around.
I already know.
Meanwhile, at a Walmart in Houston, Texas,
uh-oh,
a woman was robbed at gunpoint while loading her groceries in the park. Go ahead.
Welcome to Houston. Sorry, let me tell you. Was it a white woman?
And she got to know in the.
Was it a white woman?
Yeah.
She wasn't paying attention. Now, you ain't going to rob no sister, so you ain't going to walk up on her like that. She going to be like, hey, what the hell you want? She might put a little short 380 out on you, fuck in your tail. But the white people, they don't be paying attention. She out there just whistling and haphazardly loading up stuff out there, not paying no damn attention, and not knowing Leroy and them right around the corner.
What?
Or even one of them
I've been following her through the whole
look,
stuff.
Or even one of them messy white boys followed her all over the store and seen how much money she had and seen her get her change back and what she had got and got her. Yeah. You walking around acting like a victim, damn it. When you act like a victim,
but you know,
become a victim.
Hey, but you know, with everybody wearing masks, anything can
right.
happen.
Exactly.
They're going to say, what
that's
did he
like, you really
like?
Got to be paying attention.
Well,
he had a mask on.
He had a mask on with zebra print on it.
Baby.
Emma had a bedazzle mask.
it was bedazzle. Like it had a name.
Emma had a bedazzle mask.
Oh,
Emma had a bedazzle mask on.
But the thing about it is, I would love to see the statistics on the amount, how much crime has increased since we've been wearing these masks for real. Because I know there's some people out there taking advantage of this situation.
You already know.
Let me tell you something, because there were some people who, when they said mask up, They was like, oh, hell yeah. They was like, oh, hell yeah. It's going down, clown. I got to go get this baby. Yeah, boy,
I was in.
You can't even put a mask on TV and say, if you've seen this man.
Everybody
look like.
Oh, my God.
And like,
nuck, nuck. Yeah, that's. I would love to see the statistics for real. I don't know if anybody's done that, a study on the statistics of how much
crime
has risen in different areas since in the last 6 months that we've been, you know, strictly wearing these masks.
Right.
But I know damn well, because I know some of the cats I grew up with walking around with masks, and they've been waiting on something like this to go on.
Exactly.
Yeah, boys.
Boys
been waiting on this.
So you know Christmas gonna be off the chain.
I know where I'm gonna be, and by that time you gonna have a little short 9mm in your pocketbook when you go somewhere all the time, and if somebody walk up on you, you just pop them in their tail. Yeah, and that's just our little tool. We not playing them kind of things. I know what they'll try. Yeah, what you think about that, Reggie?
Back in mass situation. Say, when they first started saying what's wrong with masks, I was thinking about that. You know, how you going to identify somebody, you know, if somebody try to rob you? You just got to keep your wits about you. I remember before they started, before we started wearing masks, maybe me and you was in a store one time, and this guy behind the glass, he had a dude outside the glass who was asking people for money as he was giving them back their change to the store. I don't know if you remember this. And I'm like, this dude is around, this dude is standing in the store and ask people for change. You can't say you don't have it because he sees you getting back your change. And this young lady was in there, she had put out a lot of money and gave this dude a dollar. And me and you start getting on the spot right there. What's like, you know, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? We end up walking out to a car because, you know, thinking, hey, man, this dude will hit you in the head, take everything you got. You know, so it's just people like, I don't feel like they didn't even think like that.
Yeah. But like I say, Reggie, me and you come from a different area of town, different areas of town, and we know what these Negroes would do and how, you know, naive. So you can be naive if you want to, but you end up being a victim when you acting naive. And they got a lot of guys who sit around all day, and all they think about is how to turn people into victims. I don't let them. I know as much as you do, bro. I'm just as crooked in the head as you is. I don't do what you do, but I know what you will do. So I am always got my head on the swivel, watching what these cats is doing and paying attention. But you're right, Reg. I remember that situation. I was like, what in the hell is she thinking about? She tried to get up. Look, she tried to get up, as they say, in the hood. You trying to get your wig split.
Yeah.
Me and Reg walked back to the car. Like, hey, come on. We won't, because these Negroes are knocking in your head for that wad of money. She going to pull it out in the store by herself. Yeah, I remember that crazy, Reg. I remember that crazy girl.
Yeah, I
never
forget that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I had to put our cape on that day.
Exactly.
All right, y'all know I keep it moving. This is. We used to say hood shenanigans. This ain't no hood shenanigan right here.
Uh-oh.
This right here is strictly, let's move on. This says, Ohio teen pleads guilty to charges after pushing a log off a cliff.
You can't be friends with a bitch.
And killing a mom of four. It says, Jaden Churchill, 17 years old, was initially charged with murder and reckless homicide, but instead pleaded guilty to one charge of involuntary manslaughter. The teen pushed a log off a cliff and killed a mother of four.
Why?
For one, you already know. Already know he wasn't black. Because if he was, he would have got a charge of, and if he was, he would have got a charge for two murders, and he didn't kill but one person. He'd be in jail already, and there wouldn't be no discussion about it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
It say he accepted a plea deal on Wednesday for his role in pushing a log off a 75-foot cliff after September that struck and killed a mother of four who was below taking photos.
Yeah, you know, we already know who that was that did that.
You already
it won one.
You know, if it was one of us, they would have said an African American.
No, they just said he was charged and convicted of murder, and he was doing
said,
a life.
That mother would have said a black guy kills a white woman, rolls a log down the hill, running from the police, and he got charged. It wouldn't have been no.
I want to know what the hell is reckless homicide?
Meaning he killed somebody resident. That's a term. Let me tell you why you don't know nothing about reckless homicide. Because that's a term that they give white kids when they don't want to give them a real hard sentence. See, the sentencing guidelines are different on reckless homicide. Reckless homicide means that you were doing something reckless and stupid that caused the death of another human being. And that's what they get them little white kids who get high and be on that meth and the hydrocodones and all them different other pills that they got at their mama, what they call it, medicine cabinet. and they did something stupid and somebody died. So you don't know nothing about that because they don't get at the black kids. That you would never hear that when I heard that term. That's how I also knew Ray what color that baby was that did that. Because you ain't gonna ever hear no black child charged with reckless homicide because they figure everything we do reckless any damn way.
Hey, there's two law books, right? You know they got a black law book and a white law book. The white law book say reckless and reckless homicide. The black law book say murder.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
People can make a link. Yeah,
murder. That's what I'm talking about right there, Ray. That's why I told Reggie he's never heard that damn term before. Because they're not going to use that term with that child.
No, ain't.
Or black man. You're not going to ever get reckless homicide. You're going to be in that
gonna get
first degree.
Off the bat.
Murder.
Yeah, straight murder.
All the bat.
Off the bat. No discussion. Then they're going to say you tried to run. They had to kill you.
Yeah, had to kill him. He took two
to kill
steps toward the back. Yeah.
You know it. Hey, let me ask this now. I don't know if y'all heard this, but I was watching the news the other day on CNN, and apparently the governor of Florida apparently has told people that you don't have to disclose, parents don't have to disclose. Okay. If you're in the school system or in the area, I guess in Florida, you don't have to disclose information if somebody has caught the coronavirus or COVID-19. And he's now catching feedback from it because the COVID-19 infection rate has increased 26% in children since they started school. Now, my only I have a problem with that because, for one, it should be exposed or told who has it so you can save your protect your family. Also, in the state of Mississippi, which is in the papers, the governor of Mississippi told any school that's in the state of Mississippi do not have to inform anybody if a teacher or student has COVID-19. Let's think about
what?
Wow.
Well, it's
yep.
All like
I think we'll be a bunch of big folks. That's what
yep.
I think. They'll expose that you had COVID-19 at your damn funeral. I bet you that. they put on the damn under the bottom of the casket, COVID-19.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're going to start putting a damn stamp on it. I bet you that.
Because they had a nine-year-old black girl die in Florida because they said she had no underlying diseases, no underlying problems. She died from the COVID-19, and they own the governor of Florida behind that. They don't have to tell people, and that's not a good thing. And then Mississippi, when the governor here put that out, it was in the paper on the news that you ain't got to tell nobody if you get COVID. If a teacher or a student in Mississippi get that COVID-19, I think right there. And I told some parents, and they were talking about it. I said, I'm going to tell you like this. If you was to do something towards your child, they would call it child endangerment. I said, all y'all parents that got kids in school need to file y'all a lawsuit against the governor of Mississippi for child endangerment because they want y'all to send your kids to school and they're endangering your child's lives.
I agree with you.
I think everybody, the parents that got a kid in school.
I really think, Ray, that they should have simply kept these kids out of school at least an entire year until they get a handle on this COVID-19 situation. Because just to be honest with you, they really, like you were saying, have no underlying issues with this young lady and she still contracted it and stuff like that. They have no earthly idea who and what. How people, they don't have no idea how catching COVID and what makes you more susceptible than not to catch it. So they really playing stupid with these kids, the trial and error, sending these kids back to school. I just don't agree with it at all.
Me either, at all.
Well, you know, I'm on the fence with that because in some cases, man, some students wouldn't even get an education at all. I mean, this just would be a blank year for them. You know, not everybody has access to the internet. Not everybody has access to computers and tablets and laptops, things you need to do the homeschooling. And then you have some parents that just they just don't have it to teach their kids what they need to learn. You know, it's a lot of work. I'm going through it right now. You know what I'm saying? In some cases, I'm going to have to Google what's going on in the classroom because I'm like, man, my daughter asked me a question. I'm like, let me Google that for you right quick. In other words, I don't know. I ain't been in school in over 30-something years. You know, so I do agree that we're going back too fast, but at some point, though, I think the kids need to go back to school because a lot of kids, and not only that, some kids are not even getting lunch or food at home because their parents just send them to school to eat. You know what I'm saying? My grocery bill is high as hell because my kids are at home. Hey, they're eating like that. You know, I'm like, man, you don't eat like that at school, but now you're at home. You can't get it up. So I'm like, you know, I want you to eat like you're at school. And then, you know, when you come home, you know, get your snack or whatever and eat dinner. But, hey, man, it's just, you know, economically, it's hurting us, and you know, medically, you know, hey man, I'm scared for my kids, you know, to go back to school because, like I said, kids like to share stuff, they touch on everything, you know, but like I said, you know, I got my son, he's stuck his thumb all the damn time, and he always touching on every damn thing, so I'm very leery of it, but like I said, I don't know, I'm on the fence on that, fellas.
Yeah, well, I can understand that too, Reggie, but I just think that the risk factor is higher than the reward factor when you're dealing with this situation. Because the thing is, you are putting your household, your children's health, your parents' health, your health, because a lot of these black households, let's just be honest, have elderly people in them as well. You know, we are a culture that has a lot of mixed family units together. We have extended family living together. We have, you know, the black people, we gonna make it. We do whatever it takes to make it. So that you have multiple generations in a household, and you send these kids back to school, like you say, touching on everything and bringing stuff back to the house. Now, you may have a kid who is asymptomatic because their immune system can handle the COVID-19 virus. But they bring that COVID-19 into that household and give it to that elderly grandparent or auntie or uncle or whoever, and their system can't handle it. And next thing you know, you had a damn funeral, you know, because that baby went back to school. I just think that the risk report factor is too damn high at this point in this COVID-19 fight for them to be bringing them kids back to school right now. They don't have enough things and protocols in place, enough precautions in place, enough systems to protect the kids, the parents, these households, man. So I'm just not. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Reggie. We need to get them back in school and get them educated. But what good is educating them and then eulogizing them in the same damn year? Yeah, so I just don't agree with it right now. And I mean, it may be because I don't have a what they say, a dog in this fight. But I do understand the fight that this dog is going into. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, I feel you on that, but you know, I noticed one thing that they're taking. They got different protocols. I'm not gonna say it's not gonna work, but that it's gonna work. But every hour there's an announcement. Kids, stop what they're doing. Stay hands. Do what you gotta do to keep this up clean. So they try to take precautions. I mean, you only can be so safe. They got
exactly.
equipment
to go out into the public, or which we don't do anyway, but when we have to, we make sure that, hey, man, we got our kids strapped up, we got our sanitizer in the car, so as soon as we get back in the car, we can sanitize our hands. You know what I'm saying? We know, and my wife here, if you use the car around her, she make you drink some lemon water. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, because, you know, we heard that lemon kills the, you know, kills the coronavirus. Yeah, so she in the car, hey, man, she drowned you with lemon water in the house. She banned the water boy you. You know, so but I understand what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I'm still on the fence about it. You know, I agree with everything that you're saying. You know, but it's just dealing with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, like I'm just gambling my kids' life away. There's nothing like that. It's just, we're just doing everything, and we make sure the schools are doing what they're supposed to do to protect our kids as well, because we've talked to teachers, and they've, you know, showed us what they're trying to do.
What?
Yeah, and, you know, and then you have a choice. If things are not working out, you can just go and snatch your kid out of school anyway. Be like, hold up, this ain't working out. I see y'all not doing none of the stuff that y'all said y'all was going to be doing. You know what, I tell you what, we just going to keep our kids at the house. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I just want to see how it's going to work out, because, you know, they would be supposed to be going back to school, but they've been postponing it, you know. So Monday supposed to be their first day, you know. Hopefully, you know, they get back and everything is, you know, they just at least follow all the procedures they said they're going to tell us.
Right.
You know,
well,
we're going to
keep them.
I didn't go to school either. I'm sorry.
Well, we don't, Reggie, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep them kids in prayer and just ask God to cover them and put an edge of protection around them while they go back to school and keep that household safe, brother. That's all we can do. We just do our and let God take care of the rest.
And you know, my wife also told me that they sent different groups of students on different dates. Like, not all of them going to be at school at one time. First graders might go through Monday, Tuesday, and second graders on Tuesday and Wednesday and stuff like that. If my school's out here, we don't have, like, you know how when me and you was in school, it was like from kindergarten on up to the sixth grade? Well, it's not like that out here. We have first and second graders going to school together. Kindergartners and pre-K going to school together. Fifth graders and sixth graders going to school together. They got their own separate school. So it's easier to, like, keep half of my school and the rest half go one day and the other half go the other day.
Okay.
That's the way they system is. But not all of them, but the schools we that our kids going to, that's how the system works, you know. They don't have, like, you know, my daughter's been with like four different schools because she has to go to pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, now she's in the seventh grade, this is seventh grade and eighth grade, you know, so that's the way to do it. And the ninth grade has their own school, and then it's 10 to 12, you know, like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's different out there in that little area then, because they're not like that in HISD. You know how they still the same way. You know, HIV just jumble everything together.
Yeah.
But they got the high school here. They go to school. Well, some of the schools here are going to school like Monday and Tuesday. Some of the kids going Monday and Tuesday. They all Wednesday, and the rest of the kids go Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. What
no,
you
I'm just saying, you know, I was just saying that, you know, hey man, we believe me, we taking precautions, and I'm not just, you know, sending them to school because I'm trying to get rid of them, but I am trying to get rid of them, but not like that.
hey man, let me tell you something. I understand you, brother, and like I said, we just gonna keep them kids in prayer and that household, and all the households in America, and all the kids that are returning back to school. Keep them in prayer. And keep them, you know, keep a hedge of protection around them and just ask God to be the healer that we know him to be. And we just going to, you know, send this COVID-19 situation back to where it came from, because we don't need that spirit in our schools and our houses. But anyway, fellas, we appreciate the talk. Trainer Ray, Big Red Joe, again, man, it's been a pleasure. And y'all go ahead and sign off. Go ahead, Red Joe, you sign off first this time.
Oh, yeah, this is Red Joe because I said so. Well, you know what I'm saying? We hope you're on the north side of Houston. And, hey, man, fellas, it was a joy. And I can't wait till next Thursday to have another conversation with y'all again.
All right, appreciate you, Big Red. Go ahead, Trainer Ray.
Hey, this is Trainer Ray here down in the dirty fizzy. I'm trying to tell y'all, thank y'all for joining 219 The Talk. Join me this Saturday at 12 o'clock, and I want you to come do abs, virtual abs with Trainer Ray at 12 o'clock noon on Saturday. So thank y'all for coming out, and tune in again next Thursday.
All right, this is JD the Barber. You know, we have had wonderful time here on 219 The Talk right here in Houston, hot Texas, you know, so for myself, and we appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all next Thursday on 219 The Talk.
219 The Talk, 219 The Talk, 219 The Talk, 219 The Talk, let's go. 219, yeah, 219. Yeah, 219 to talk, 219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth. 219 to talk. 219. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth.